Sad King Billy is our local feature record for this week. It's the debut solo venture from Julian Pete, a name that wouldn't fall on deaf ears for those with ears to the ground over the last decade of local sounds in Baldoo. Julian has spent the last decade touring and recording with WA acts like the Southern River Band and Old Blood, but now turning attention to a project all his own with Sad King Billy. Looking inward, the project's debut explores Julian's experience with loss, growth, and pain against some gorgeous, sunny, blues-inflected rock, alt-rock, rather. It's what RTRFM's Matt Perrett called hard on your sleeve rock, which I think I would agree with. It's got some wonderful synth in there too. It's a really beautiful collection of sounds that have been created involving a cat, which we'll also get to a little bit later. Joining us on Breakfast to talk all things Sad King Billy. Good morning, Julian Pete.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're so glad to have you. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. Pretty fresh.
Yeah.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. Pretty early. Yeah. So I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming in to chat. But we're having you across the station all this week, so it's definitely the time to unpack your brain early in the week so that while we hear all of these wonderful tracks, we know what's going on. We've got a bit of insight.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the inside scoop, if you will. All right, so if we go back in time a little bit, we're looking at starting this project. How long ago was that? How long ago did you start writing for Sad King Billy?
Well, probably subconsciously around 2014, I think.
That's a while.
Yeah, a long time ago, but that's one or two songs. I think when I had a bit more time to myself was probably towards the end of 2018. And I started to take it really seriously, being like, oh, okay, it's been on the shelf for a while. It's something that I really wanted to do. And I really pushed for it in 2019. And I managed to get myself a grant, which was lovely. And I had about 25 songs, demos, that we chiseled down to 10. So I think most of it got written probably in 2018, 2019.
Pretty beautiful. Yeah. Was there a specific moment where you remember realizing, okay, I have to put all of my attention into this? Was there a catalyst or a moment that made you shift focus to that? Or was it just a growing sort of urgency?
I know it's pretty arbitrary and like it is that like cliche of like, oh, I'm almost 30. Like, maybe I should probably do this shit.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of that. I had left SRB and Old Blood was sort of like, you know, people having babies and one person was having babies and that sort of, that did create a bit of space in it, and I was like, okay, well, this is an obvious time to push into this, I think.
That's pretty exciting that it's happening regardless. Now, the name Sad King Billy, before we get too far in,
mm-hmm.
what's that about? Tell me where that's come from.
It's from a 1980s science fiction book called Hyperion by Dan Simmons. No particular relevance as as to why the name was picked, other than I just thought it was, I was having a conversation with another musician friend of mine, and we were sort of laughing about a number of different names in the book. And I was like, oh, that could be good to do that one. And then I was just in a moment of self-confidence, I think I just put my finger down on that one. I was like, oh, I'll do that.
I think
as well, because I didn't want to use my own name, I think, because maybe of the association with a bit more of the blues guitar thing. I was like, maybe I need to just kind of like have a bit of a fresh start. Now, I don't know if I'd do the same thing, but it's sort of like with every name, it loses meaning pretty quickly. So it's just something that's there. And I think it's like, you know, it's somewhat unique.
I don't think you need to discount yourself. I think you don't need to put yourself down this early in the morning. It's too early in the day for that. I think it's a great record. The first thing I thought of was Billie Jean King, which is hilarious just because of mm-hmm. the Billy and the King.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, tennis fans
yep.
rejoice.
Yep.
But other than that, I do think it's a really lovely collection of sounds. And it does reflect on what the sounds of the album are. There is that regal, that big sound to it, and that would allude to the King. And then there is also some, you know, big things that you're unpacking, a little tiny bit of a bit of sadness. Growing pains is something that you really look into, the struggle with growing up and apart and growth in general. Well, you spent a decade essentially growing up in bands around Perth, around Baldoo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how has that growth experience, that you know, adolescence informed the music that you're making now? What have you taken or cherry-picked experiences and musically?
Yeah, well, I think growth is definitely the key word. Like you, all of the experience I had to be able to gig as much as I did, I think really helped me kind of rein in a bit of the I need to be playing a lot all of the time kind of thing.
A mentality that's often shared.
Yeah. And I guess, the biggest thing was getting a lot of that energy out and then being able to create a space to kind of look inward and make songs that really are my stories, and then less about, I need to seize every possible opportunity and play as much as possible and practice as much as possible. So it was very like, my 20s very guitar focused, which is something that has allowed me to bring all that into this record. But there's much less of that, I think, than people would expect. So it's sort of like the process of going through those motions and getting that out has kind of allowed me to get to a stage where I'm like, now I can write songs, you know?
Yeah. I guess that kind of leads into, thinking about working with bands, producing and touring and recording with bands through to now recording with Dan Carroll, which we'll get to in a moment, but as a solo project. So you're part of everything rather than being involved in a group situation. It's everything is up to you. What's that been like? What's that change ever been like?
At times pretty overwhelming because like I think what I really wanted was more creative freedom and maybe more creative control. And like definitely recently with the release stage, that's where it's been the hardest. Because, like, I don't necessarily have somebody to look to my left or right that's in a band and go, like, am I crazy? Like, is this the right way to present this? Or, like, what do you think of this? All those kind of decisions are often left quite internal. So I miss that aspect a little bit. But then being in the studio and being with just one other person, so much more time and flexibility and maybe less contradictions in a room to be able to just like go ahead and try a bunch of crazy and embarrassing ideas and then go, okay, well, we're not going to use any of that, but that's okay because it's just the two of us, or we're going to use this. And so in the end, I think it really did allow me to do and try a lot of things that I wanted to try that in a band context would be much more difficult or would just take more time, more years.
You did work with Dan Carroll on this record, mm-hmm. and what was that like? How did he shape the sound? Was he the sounding board in that scenario, the person that you look to and you go, what about this? Did he become that person for you, or was there a collaborative experience in that regard?
It was very collaborative, which I always knew it was going to be going in with Dan because we've been friends, good friends for a long time. We've played together and we've toured together, and we've spent many long nights just talking about music and listening to music. So I knew that our tastes aligned, and I knew that there were also gaps in my taste that he would fill in and vice versa. So, it was just a really wonderful time during COVID where his studio was actually not really a functioning space. So we did most of it in his house in Maylands, and it really just felt like hanging out. And so it was very much like a natural process, for lack of a better word.
Pretty gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, you've got some natural sounds on the track we just heard, Ode to a Dying Race. There's some soundscapes and ambient cuts mm-hmm. from nature. There's also a cat sound on that song. Can you explain what's going on there? Dan's cat is on that song.
Dan's cat, Alan, who's been around for a long time. very, very large cat. Strong personality. He would often, while we were tracking, would kind of just jump on my lap and just flop against my chest. And I think at one stage we were mixing and I think we were adding in one layer on a microphone. He was right there and I could hear him purring through the mic. And Dan and I just kind of looked at each other and were like, add it in. And so he's purring right at the end. You have to turn it up pretty loud to hear it, but it's in there. It's like quite surprisingly low frequency for a cat.
There you go. What's the cat's name?
Alan.
Alan, right. Yep. Alan.
Strong cat name.
Yeah, it's a great cat name. So Alan features on this debut record of yours.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty special. I mean, moving away from cats and sort of new things in new sounds introduced into this record. What's the current plan? What's next for you? What's going on in the world of Sad King Billy?
Well, I have been doing a surprising amount of writing, I think, in the last 18 months. So I think the next thing that I'll do will be a little bit more stripped back production-wise. I think I definitely have a much better understanding of my writing, but probably more specifically my voice. So I think it'll be, in my head, it's better. But I'm pretty excited to start recording, actually. Lots of people have been asking me about gigging, so that's also on the cards. I have to put a band together, which is always a bit of a thing, but thinking about those two things mostly. Yep.
Beautiful. Now, you've brought in a track to play for, well, not play for us, but we're playing a track from your album, Sad King Billy. We're going to play Every Part of Us. Now, there's a bit of a story attached to this one. Can you tell us about this track?
Yeah, I think I was writing this in 2020, I think, and probably about this time of year, or like maybe a little bit earlier. It was for the person that I was with who was going through a very difficult time. And in a lot of ways, it's like a love song to try and ground that person in, you know, I think what I thought was a big part of our shared happiness being the relationship. I think now looking back on it, it was maybe a little bit of a message to myself that things weren't going so well. It's kind of like a little bit of a dichotomy looking back at it now, but I guess that's sort of the nature of songs it's often a memory and a point in time, and then when you reflect on it, you have a totally different experience, and then when you share it with somebody else, they have a totally different experience interpretation. So, yeah, that's it.
That's it. Julian P, speaking all things Sad King Billy on Breakfast this morning, thank you so much for getting up early and joining me for a little chat about this brand new project of yours, or brand new release from this project of yours. We're going to take the track Every Part of Us. Thanks for coming in, Julian.
Thanks for having me.